Hail, hail, rock and roll. This is your host, Rosie, here to tell you all the fun things about rock and roll that you didn't know that you need to know and possibly didn't even want to know, but you will find out if you stick around. I am here to discuss, analyze, emote, fangirl, basically. Some people have hobbies that involve, like, golfing or, you know, skiing, crochet. I don't crochet. I read books on rock stars and regurgitate factoids that nobody really cares to hear, but hopefully you do. That being said, I am no musical analyst, as in I know stuff about music as far as what I hear and the lyrics go. I'm really attuned to lyrics, but I cannot tell you what note is what. I have no technical skills for music. I can barely play guitar, but I can tell you who played what guitar. That one I haven't looked into yet. But while it is a cool guitar, it is not near as cool as the man who was playing it. Little Steven is my hero. His Underground Garage rock show, which you can find online and on SiriusXM, is without a doubt one of the best things going on in the modern world of rock and roll. He's keeping it alive. Little by little, signing acts with his Wicked Cool Records. He's a hero of mine. You know, I would love to have a job where I worked for a radio station and it was, you know, Underground Garage and he was my boss. But speaking of bosses, today's topic will be his boss and the boss of us all, Bruce Springsteen, and his family of songs. To me, there are some songs that really heavily relate to each other. They all share this common thread of the car, the girl, and the getaway. The earliest of these, to my knowledge and recollection and general feelings I had towards it, is Rosalita, which is one of my favorite songs. And not just because her name's Rosie, though that's a great name. I genuinely have always loved this song. And it has all those components, which you will find more in songs like Thunder Road and Racing in the Streets and Proved All Night. You have Rosie, who is the girl. You have the car, which is a dud stuck somewhere in the mud in the swamps of Jersey. And you have trying to liberate and confiscate her because her daddy's got her locked up in her room. Ugh, fighting the parents. Such a struggle. But the next song, and the song that more matures those things, like, people try to say that Bruce's songwriting grew up from Born to Run to The Darkness on the Edge of Town album, which is true. There's a definite maturation in his lyrics, but the seeds of that maturation were already in Born to Run. Because on Thunder Road, she's now no longer being held back by her parents. She's not locked up in her room. The girl, Mary in this case, we've upgraded from Rosie to Mary, is now dancing freely on her front porch to some Roy Orbison. But she still takes some convincing to get in that car. And in this case, it's not the physical impediments of the car isn't running because it's stuck in the mud, and Mommy and Daddy got you locked up in your room. It's the internal and far harder to get over components of emotions, of being scared, you know, hesitant to run off into the blue and take a chance on romance, which is way more relatable. Not that being held back by your parents isn't relatable, especially when you're a teenager. I mean, I felt Rosalita so hard when I was 13, you know. The tragedy of having parents who actually didn't want to let you make horrible decisions. You know, how dare they actually be concerned about your well-being? How backwards of them! I am completely joking. In hindsight, my parents weren't that, you know, strict, and I was dramatic like most 13, 14-year-olds are. You know, my world's coming to an end. I'm growing up. I might have had a point there. But in Thunder Road, it's the internal hesitations, not being stopped from doing what you want to do by your parents, but being stopped by your own fears. And that call to show a little faith, because there's magic in the night. It's like, hey, I can't, which ties in similar, like, Thunder Road and Born to Run pair up really well. They're both the first song on each side of the record, and that was not an accident. And they both pair up pretty well with the whole, you know, car girl getaway theme, and also addressing some of the fears. I mean, in Born to Run, and his, it's the male's case of, you know, I'm, we walk with me out on the wire, because baby, I'm just a scared and lonely rider, and I want to know if love is real. Like, it's there, too. It's his perspective in that case. But the overall adult, more adult thing, where it's the trepidation about, like, hey, do I want to take a risk again? Rather than when you're young and high schoolish, like Rosalita is, and it's just, mom and dad don't want to let me do what I want to do. So that those relate. In fact, I recall reading that at one point Born to Run was conceived as sort of a concept album. So that had been an idea to sort of like follow the character's life throughout the course of the day, and Thunder Road was going to be like the opening. And that's why it has such an invitation mode to it, you know, throwing open the car seat door, inviting her in, and, you know, going on a ride. In this case, that's why it actually made side A's first song, rather than the titular track of Born to Run. You'd think that that might be on there, because it's another party anthem rocker, but they picked Thunder Road because it had that invitation to it, where the car's door's thrown open, and by the end of the song, you're riding along with Mary and Bruce to the great future and pulling out of here to win. Which leads to what I consider the sequel to Thunder Road. Like, if Bruce intended Born to Run to be a concept album, it wasn't. You know, he scrapped that idea. But the concept of it bled very heavily into Darkness on the Edge of Town and its songs. Because by his own admission, he was considering, what happens to these couples that I've put in cars? I've put like 5 couples in cars now. Where are they going? What happens to them 5 years down the road? You know, what is their life after the getaway? And so he was considering that in a more, you know, adult sense. Because what I want to say, by the time he's his late 20s. It's about my age when Darkness on the Edge of Town came out, because I'm 28 now. So he's considering that whole, what are those characters that I wrote when I was 20 doing now with their lives? What does that look like? And, well, yeah, maybe he wrote them a little after 20. He was like 23 or so, I think, when Born to Run came out. But, you know, point is, he's grown up. I can tell you, for one, mid-20s is... I did more growing up in my mid-20s, I think, than I did in all of my teens. So, now, you fast forward, and you get Racing in the Streets. Which, while I know The Promise was intended to be the sequel for Thunder Road, it's on the album The Promise, which is actually a box set of 3 discs of outtakes from Darkness on the Edge of Town. Or, it's 3 vinyl discs, it may only be 2 CDs. I only have it on vinyl. But it's like a continuation, sort of, to me. Racing in the Street is more so than The Promise. The Promise, you don't know what happened to Mary. There's no discussing of the girl. You know that he sold the car and his dreams, and it's generally a really depressing song. Like, it's more depressing than the song Darkness on the Edge of Town, which is no uplifter. It's another down or two, but at least there's some hope, both to the melody and to some of the lyrics, especially the closing line of, you know, I'll be on that hill because I can't stop. Like, whatever needs doing, he's gonna do it. Like, he's not sure what life is gonna be, or he lost his car. I mean, well, Darkness, he didn't lose his car, but he lost the girl and his money. But what I consider the real sequel to Thunder Road is Racing in the Street, by far. Because, I mean, there's so many similar lyrical allusions. Also, if you listen to the 1978 version off the Promise set, the harmonica at the beginning of that song sounds like a sadder, slower plaintive version of the harmonica that opens Thunder Road. So I don't know if Bruce intended that. I do not live in the man's brain, so I don't know whether he intended Racing in the Street to be a sequel to Thunder Road, but he must have subconsciously, because it's not just the harmonica. There's mentions of the Promised Land. In Thunder Road, they're riding out to case the Promised Land, and in Racing in the Street, you know, it's the burnout strangers and hot rod angels rumbling through this Promised Land. So, and then of course, Darkness on the Edge of Town, where Racing in the Street finds its home on an album, is also, has the song Promised Land, which doesn't fit what we're talking about. It does have a car, but it's not part of this discussion. I could discuss that song all by itself. It's the only substitute I'll accept for our current national anthem. If they decide to change our national anthem, it's Promised Land by Bruce Springsteen or nothing. And that is my final take. when Racing in the Street, there's the Promised Land, makes another appearance. The porch. Mary's dress sways on the front porch in Thunder Road. And she's dancing. And Mary, or whoever the lead female may be in Racing in the Street, is sitting on her front porch with her pretty dreams torn in the eyes of one who hates for just being born. Like, life's done a number on Mary. We don't know what happened to her. She could have gotten, you know, she could just have a depression because, you know, life isn't what it was when she was 19 and ran off with Bruce, you know, Bruce, the main character. If she was 19, you know, whatever. It may not, pulling out of here to win may not have necessarily been the win she was looking for. And they may have tried to have kids and can't. They may have kids and, you know, she's dealing with the burdens of parenthood. We don't know what's gone through, what she's gone through in her life. But we can relate to it. Most people can really relate to that line. I know I do. In fact, the first version of Racing in the Street I ever heard was the Roger Taylor version. Roger Taylor, the drummer of Queen, not Roger Taylor from Duran Duran. And not Roger Daltrey from The Who. And not Roger Waters from Pink Floyd. There are too many Rogers, okay? There's just too many. Pick a different name, Britain! Not everybody can be Roger! but anyways. The first version I heard was the Roger Taylor version, and that line, especially in the way it's fit into the melody of that song and the pacing, just, it hit me hard. I was like, dang, I feel that. Like, I really felt that. Ouch. But like, a therapeutic, cathartic ouch. An ouch of like, okay, tearing the band-aid off, but I feel better now, ouch. And, you know, so she's down. You know, adulthood's got her down. She's kind of like the guys that are mentioned in at the beginning of Racing the Street, you know, with some guys just give up living and others go home and wash up and go racing in the street. She's kind of given up on living from the sound of it, or at least is about to, hence why the getaway has to happen and they have to go off to the sea and wash their hands of, you know, life, reset, get centered again, which a good drive can do that. Drives are so therapeutic. I literally, at least for me, my family was considering moving to an island in the Caribbean, not as exotic as it sounds, and the roads there are awful. And I was sort of like, if we move there, and if my parents move there, and I decide to move with them, I can't have long drives. And I'm like, I live in Texas. I like being able to get my car and drive 80 miles an hour or more. And just be free. It's a very freeing thing. I am an old soul. I appreciate that American muscle car metaphor for freedom feeling. And even though I have a little Honda Accord, the feeling is still the same when you roll those windows down and take that, you know, sunroof open. So, taking a drive to the beach, ultimate catharsis, ultimate recenter, get your head back on straight, which is clearly what him and his girlfriend need to do in Racing in the Street. And so we have the porch and the Promised Land. And we also have the dress. In the beginning of Thunder Road, Mary's dress sways. Like a vision, she dances across, you know, the porch that Roy Orbison plays. I think I got those lyrics mostly right. I can sing them, in, you know, along with a song, but, like, on their own, it's hard to remember all of them in the correct order. So, the dress is now no longer swaying. If you listen to the 78 version of Racing in the Street, the one that has the plaintive harmonica reminiscent of Thunder Road, you will also hear a different version of the line of all her pretty dreams are torn. In the 78 version, she sits on her porch and but girl, your pretty dress is torn. And so the dress is, that once was swaying to Roy Orbison on the front porch is now torn. And the dress clearly being a metaphor for her dreams, because he later changes the line to, but all your pretty dreams are torn, very much fits in, you know, with it. And, you know, so the dress is tattered. She's tattered. The dress, Mary's dress, has seen as much weathering as Mary has. It's not shiny and new. The pulling out of here to win was not the win that they anticipated. Which is where the other song on Darkness on the Edge of Town with the car, the girl, and the getaway fits in. Which is Prove It All Night, which is sort of, it feels familiar, like, related to Racing in the Street. Like, it could be the same couple before or after, or just at the same time that we see them in Racing in the Street. Because, you know, Prove It All Night is sort of what happens between Thunder Road and Racing in the Street. Not necessarily timeline-wise, but at some point, you have to realize the magic in the night is not enough to get you through it. You are going to have to prove it all night. You're going to have to muscle down, make the sacrifices to be with the one that you love, make the difficult decisions, ignore the voices that are telling you not to go, and do what you believe is right. Because the magic warm and fuzzies of romance are good and are necessary, but they need food. And the food to that is proving it all night. It's making the commitment and being like, you're my girl, you're my guy, whatever, we're gonna do this, and we're gonna make it work, and I love you enough that I can put up with the fact that you chew with your mouth open, damn it, or whatever it is that is just, like, I don't like it, rather than being like, well, you know, you, didn't take out the trash, so I'm asking for a divorce. So, you know, Prove It All Night is sort of that, the crux of what's going on in Racing in the Street, but with the optimism somewhat of Thunder Road. Like, it feels familiar to both songs. Thematically, it sort of feels like it fits, and with the characters, kind of feels like it fits Racing in the Street, but it also feels like it fits Thunder Road. And so, like, that's the main really intersecting three songs. And the other thing about Back to Mary's Dress, going from swaying to torn, is there's also a torn garment in Thunder Road. Thunder Road, her graduation gown lies in rags at the feet of her former beaus, you know, at least that's the gist in the song, which really feels like her giving up her, you know, I'm dating different people, like, you know, not going steady with a guy. Like, she goes on dates with different guys. Not that she is unfaithful, she just hasn't settled down and committed to going steady with somebody, which is sort of what Bruce is asking. Like, leave the high school mentality, lines, you know, aside, sweetie, let's pull out of here to win together and make that commitment. Which sort of leads into Prove It All Night a little bit, too. Meanwhile, in Racing the Street, in the 78 version, her dress is torn, or her dreams are torn, as the later version puts it, and that dress has changed from a metaphor of high school dalliance to, you know, her dreams, her aspirations. What gave her a joy for living is now scarred, smirched, tattered, and not in the best of shape, hence why they gotta go make the getaway to the coast, to get their heads on straight again. Which is understandable and relatable, I swear. I don't know that I would have gotten through last year being the extrovert that I am had I not been able to drive. Like, driving on the highway was the only place that life felt normal last year. I'm like, I am driving 75 miles an hour looking at wildflowers. This feels normal. I can kind of forget that the world's gone crazy because it's just me and the road. So that old soul 60s, 70s America muscle car driving, not that I have a muscle car, I wish I did, but my little Honda can go if I want it to. It's got six cylinders. It's kind of fun surprising other drivers when they think you've got a old Honda Accord and suddenly they're behind you. But that being the case, the drive, the whole catharsis that comes with driving and just being at peace is what, you know, Racing in the Street concludes that is needed. So it's not so much a getaway from one location to another. They're not going to a cafe in Southern California, and they're not pulling out of here to win. They are literally just taking a drive to the beach to get that zen, that peace, that tranquility that being in nature, especially the ocean for some of us, can give you. Which is very relatable. So that's sort of like that family of songs. And like I said, Darkness is the purported, you know, supposed to be the sequel to Thunder Road, but I understand why I didn't make the Darkness on the Edge of Town album. Did I say Darkness? I meant The Promise. The Promise is supposed to be the sequel to Thunder Road. I understand why I didn't make the Darkness on the Edge of Town album. Because most of Springsteen's songs, even when their characters are in really depressing, desperate situations, there's still a tone of hope. Even Darkness on the Edge of Town, there's a tone of hope. He's gonna be on that hill and, you know, make it work somehow, whatever it is he's gonna do. He's not too optimistic about it, he's not too sure about it, but it's gonna work. And The Promise doesn't have much hope to it. It's a very depressing song. A wonderful song, and it is relatable when you're in or have been in circumstances where you don't feel like there's much reason to go on going on. But, and I was there for a while, and honestly, getting back into Springsteen, who I hadn't been listening to much since I was a teenager, helped, because like the whole Show a Little Faith, There's Magic in the Night was like, hey, just because your life hasn't turned out the way you wanted it to, and you may not be the beauty, but hey, you're all right. It's like, oh, so I don't have to look like Marilyn Monroe to maybe find a happily ever after, and I don't have to know exactly what I'm doing in order to be an adult. You kind of figure it out as it goes, which is somewhat revolutionary, because for me, I'm like, I like to have a plan. Plans are nice. I like to know what I'm doing and what I'm gonna do. Call it the feminine need for security or whatever, but I like to know. And adulthood doesn't give you that privilege. It's not, you're gonna go to school, you're gonna do this, you know, you're gonna get up and do this, this, and this. It's not, you have to be mom and dad and tell you what you're gonna do with your life. Which is a challenge, but well worth it. I would not be here doing this if I hadn't embraced that challenge. This was my decision to share my passion for rock music with everybody, whether, you know, they're interested or not. I assume that you are if you've made it this far. And so this is my passion. This is my hobby. I'd love to make it a job someday. I don't know that that'll ever happen. But that's not important. Making money isn't important. What's important is sharing what makes you happy with the rest of the world and trying to make them happy. Because there's way too much of the promise in this world and not near enough of Proof It All Night. Everybody is down! And I'm like, it wouldn't kill you to smile. It is, you can show a little faith. There is magic in the night. Not everything is down and depressing, even when you think life is the pits. There's always some ray of sunshine if you look for it. And it, contrary to popular culture these days, it ain't no sin to be glad you're alive. Be happy. Smile. If you have a family that loves you, that is a reason to smile. I know people who have been through really rough times. If you have, a good job, be happy. There are people who don't have one. All these things, even when you're sitting on the porch with the eyes of one who hates for being just for being born, at least you got somebody coming home and checking out on you. Making sure you're okay. Keep doing things to cheer you up. Whatever it is in your life, no matter how bad your life is, there are things to make it joyful. Music, if nothing else. You can always dance. And so, on that note, I will dance the night away to get on with my responsibilities. That yin and yang of happiness and responsibilities. And I hope y'all enjoy this. Stick around for more. I will try to do one of these at least once a week. It'll be on everything from particular albums, particular artists, particular songs that I find relate to each other, songs that artists have written about their children, or romantic, songs that were written all on the same theme. Every little. I love music, and it's gonna be all over the place. It's gonna be a wild ride, but isn't that rock and roll after all? You didn't come here to be bored. You didn't come here for predictability. If you did that, you wouldn't be a rock and roll fan. It's kind of against the what rock and roll is all about, which is being, as this guy would put it, a rock and roll rebel. So continue rebelling against being sad and all the negativity in the world, and stand firm in being glad you're alive. And I look forward to providing more fun content for y'all, and I'll just hit that subscribe button, and then you'll see it whenever I do post something new. You don't have to subscribe if you don't want to. I'm not one of those people who's gonna be pushy about it. Anyways, to quote Mr. Ringo Starr, who had his birthday the other day, peace and love! Peace and love!